On Friday, the Biden administration said it would raise the price to drill for oil and gas on public land. Environmental groups are upset about it. They'd been hoping for the president to make good on his promise to stop drilling on federal property altogether. But the fact is, this country still relies heavily on fossil fuels. More than 60% of U.S. electricity comes from burning coal and natural gas. All this week, we'll be trying to better understand where the U.S. gets its electricity from and how that might change. We'll start with Mark Thurber at Stanford University's Program on Energy and Sustainable Development. Mark, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And why don't we start with natural gas, which was the largest source of electricity in the country last year. About 41% of our power came from gas. How important is it to American life right now?
Gas, as you say, is very important to American life. Most places where we are around the country, natural gas is supplying a large share of our electricity.
It didn't used to be that way, though. Coal used to be king. Last year, U.S. coal production fell to its lowest level since 1965. Just 19% of our power came from coal plants. Explain why coal and natural gas have been switching places.
Absolutely. In 2000, coal was about 50% of total power generation in this country, and gas was less than 20%. Today, gas is over 40%, and coal is more like 20%. And so what's happened in the last 20 years is we've added a lot of gas-fired power plants, and we've also added a lot of gas in this country. Because of the shale gas revolution, the U.S. is awash in natural gas, and it's a cleaner power source than coal, and right now in this country, it's cheaper. So that's why the U.S. has been able to switch so quickly from coal-heavy to gas-heavy.
So natural gas has to make its way from a well to a power plant before it's going to turn on the lights in either my home in Arizona or yours in California. What's the state of the pipeline system for natural gas across the country?
So the U.S. has a very mature pipeline system, which is both good and bad. It means that there are a lot of pipelines, so that makes it easy in most places of the country to move gas from gas fields to end uses. The downside is that some of these lines, especially if you look at distribution lines in cities, might be very old. So if you look at places like Boston and New York, there is, in some cases, there's some leakage of methane from these distribution lines.
Interesting. So environmental groups, I know, are concerned about the impact of fracking, for one, but there's also this concern that you just mentioned, leaking pipes and wells. And I understand that Stanford's Natural Gas Initiative has been looking at monitoring those leaks. What does the future look like on that front?
This is a very important area for us to get better at. So methane leakage is a problem. In some cases, it can be a safety problem, but more often the problem is that methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so if we're thinking about gas as a cleaner energy source than coal, which it is in the power sector, gas emits only about half the greenhouse gases of coal per amount of electricity you produce. But you need to be sure that you're not leaking the methane itself, the natural gas, because that can cause a lot of warming.
How do we get better at that? I mean, is there anyone paying attention to it or dedicating resources to it?
There are. So part of it is technology, and an equally important or even more important part is regulation to make sure that there are strong incentives to detect and capture the methane that's being released, not just in the oil and gas production part, but all through the value chain of gas. And that's a component. Who knows what will end up in the final law, but the Build Back Better Act has a part of it that would be a methane fee for oil and gas production, where if you release methane, you have to pay a fee. Also in the bipartisan infrastructure law that has been passed, there's some money in there to help clean up old oil and gas wells, which might be leaking methane.
Meanwhile, you have the White House saying that it wants net zero emissions in the United States by 2050. What are the prospects for the future of natural gas, considering how important it is to us right now?
I think we're still going to see more than any other single source coming from gas in the next decade. But the number will certainly be lower. I think it's very likely that it'll be less than the 40% we have today. And the faster that we can develop renewables, hopefully we can keep nuclear online so that we keep having all that zero carbon power. And then over time, we're going to get better with technology for storing electricity, both in the short term, like batteries, and maybe in the longer term with other energy carriers like hydrogen. So over time, what we hope is that the role of all fossil fuels will drop, but we're still going to need gas for quite some time to play this reliability services role.
Mark Thurber is an associate director for the Program on Energy and Sustainable Development at Stanford University. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.